Welcome back, boys, to the Puck Placement Podcast. We got Dove, we got Coach here to call, or the here to cover a wild card Wednesday. There's no games, no playoff games, but I mean, the wild card's shaping up in some way. There's no certainty, but it is shaping up. It's certainly happening, but we've got, let's see, the Lightning and the Wings in the playoffs in the wild card for the East. But we've got some shaky play from the Flyers and of late until last night. Capitals and Islanders and Sabres sniffing for that second spot, all within 4 points, or 5 points, I should say. The Devils are not technically out, but I consider them out. They just don't have it. Yeah, we should start there in the East, and we'll work our way to the West after. But Dove and I were talking about last time who we picked to probably make it out of the East wild card, or to enter a breakthrough in that wild card spot. I think I forgot who I chose, actually. Capitals or Islanders?
You said Islanders.
All right. Kind of regret.
Look at Dove doing his homework, eh? Not bad.
Kind of regret.
There's
that.
No way he would have chosen the Capitals.
Maybe.
No, but you just, to this point, you have shown no belief in them. Even dating back to preseason.
Yeah. I'm rooting for the Sabres, but it would be fun to watch the Wings as well. I kind of wish the Lightning just fell off.
Yeah, we all, eh? I was going to say, because I was going to ask you, like, so are you asking me who I want to make the playoffs or who I think is going to make the playoffs? Because who I want is very different than who I think.
Both.
Right. Well, obviously, I hope Tampa falls off a nice cliff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it'd be nice, but they ain't going away. They're too well coached, too deep. They're in a championship system. Like, these things just, their DNA is championship. Like, you're going to get into the playoffs and they're going to be a tough out. I don't know if they'll make it going to run, but they're going to be a tough out. They'll get in. They're, Brandon Point's catching fire now. Krooch has been awesome, obviously.
I would counter saying that they're not deep.
Right. They're not deep in a way, but they're deep. You're right. I agree with you in terms of, like, their actual roster compared to years past. They're not deep, but they still have points, Stamkos, Kucherov, Cirelli, you know, and we'll like, Sergachev's on the ice already. They still have Hedman. They still have, like, they still have their guys. They beefed up a little bit with Duclair. Like, that definitely helped them. But yeah, they're not as, definitely not as deep as years past. In terms of deep, I didn't mean it in terms of, like, the roster. I just meant in terms of, like, their team. Like, they're a deep team. Like, they're a cup team. Like, they're just sniffing. They're always there. Like, no one's gonna doubt them.
We probably should, and I know, like, we already started, we should probably recap what we missed from the end of the trade deadline, no, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, we'll cover some of the players. I mean, we're covering what has happened and, like,
because, you know,
players are going to make an impact.
Like, the reason why that comes to mind is I think that, you know, evaluating how the last half hour to an hour of the deadline went, how Breezeball just waited out the market, and he pulled off some masterclass moves, I think, in terms of acquisition costs and who he brought in. I think that really has set the Lightning into a situation where they're really in the driver's seat to getting that spot, like to get Dumba. And
Dumba is the reason they almost lost that game.
That's
right,
true.
But ultimately, he's an upgrade on some of the other guys who are on the roster. Like, I've already stated how much I hate Pervix.
But that's not saying
not in terms of as a person, in terms of I just don't think he's a good player. Dumba's a flawed player, but he's still of NHL quality.
I don't know. I think it's...
Like, you get Dumba and a seventh for a fifth down the line. That just works. That's what you need. And they got someone else.
The way they play in their own end.
Too, no?
the way they play in their own end is ridiculous. They're going to get dog walked by whoever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like that's, I mean, we talked about this in preseason that their team is just fundamentally flawed in a real, real way.
To your point, though,
this but is not Duclair, I will say Duclair has fit in quite nicely.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like that. He has that burst of speed, you know, for a lineup that's aging and getting older. He's got wheels.
Yeah. No, I agree that that did lengthen their forwards for sure. I just don't believe in anything they have defensively. I don't.
Yeah. I mean, Vasilevsky's swimming every single night because the cupboards are bare and there's nothing they can do about it.
I do want to say just the other night against Florida, Vasilevsky made like 44 saves in the last two periods or something like that. And like, he, at the end of the day, he still has that in him. So, like, the reality is they're going to get into the playoffs. Like, for me, it'd be awesome if.
I still stand by, I don't think they're going to make it.
I hope they don't. I hope they don't. But I just don't see the Red Wings winning. Like, I don't know.
I think the Red Wings, the Red Wings, like, it's the dog days of the summer. The facts are Washington's the dog days of the season.
Yeah, I was gonna say the summer. That's August, brother.
Whenever you think of the dog days, you always think about baseball. So it just kind of.
Or you think about when there's no hockey in August, and you got the Ivan Hlinka Gretzky Cup going on in Alberta.
For you know the purists like you. But I will say Detroit, like Tampa's lead is not that big. It's just not. Washington has a game in hand on Tampa. And I think Detroit's going to pass them. I really do. Like, I just, like, I look at who they're playing, who the strength of the schedule at the end and things like that. Like, I just think that they're going to do it. And I think that they have the depth to do it.
I don't think there's enough time.
What do you mean? There's 15 games.
Yeah. I don't think the Lightning are going to concede that many.
I agree with Joe.
Detroit's already playing the Lightning once.
Okay.
Joe, quick question for you, Dove.
Sure.
Nick Ehlers is still a Jet. What do you think of that?
Nick Ehlers is still a Jet. I think that, you know, he has a year left after this year, and I think that, you know, Chevy probably should have traded him because I don't think he's going to stay.
I thought you called Chevy the time before.
He's not going to stay at a number that's favorable to Winnipeg.
Okay, we'll close the chapter on Nick Ehlers. We'll get back to it. We'll revisit this in the offseason. Okay, a couple things I want to point out. First of all, Joe, with your permission, sometime during this podcast, I do want to go on a rant about Crosby and the Penguins, specifically about Sid, where I want him, and why he's got to get the hell out of there. We'll get to that later.
Well, the real question is Montreal going to pass Pittsburgh before the end of the season?
Right. I was at Dove is – that's exactly what I was about to say next. Pittsburgh is only 7 up on Montreal, same amount of games. Games are even. They're both at 68. It's not even a joke. And, like, frankly, like, Ottawa always plays good hockey at the end of the year because, you know, they never want to get a good pick. They want to pick Tyler Boucher at 10 every year and just, you know, they just suck at drafting. But anyways, it's legit crazy. It's nuts what's going on there. With regards to Tampa and Detroit, I just want to touch on a couple of things you guys discussed. So Tampa has a game in hand on Detroit and they're 4 up. I think that, like, to me, and again, like, you can roll your eyes at this if you want, but to me, it's just a big thing just because I'm a Leaf fan and have suffered tremendous trauma from this while playing championship level teams in the playoffs. Like, Tampa's got 14 games left. They probably have to go like 9-5 to get in and they'll get it done. Cause like, I just don't, like, Washington's 5 back of Tampa. Again, we'll see what the Islanders do. Like, if Patty Walk can get them going. I agree with Joe that Buffalo's a good story, but Tampa has 2 games in hand on Buffalo and 9 points. That's just a lot to ask with not a lot of time left. I can see the Islanders getting in because they do have, like, that Horvat-Barzell factor where these guys can steal games. And Dobson was, other than Devontae's, probably the most underrated defenseman in the league, in my opinion, personally. They have a good system. Again, they have no depth. They don't have much scoring other than their top line, but They have pieces of Islanders, and they do play pretty well in terms of like team-oriented play, specifically defensively, as we all know. Washington, I saw them play last week in Edmonton. They were awful. They blew a fart. And then the other night, they played a great game. They've been playing like, – the last two games have been pretty good. So they're a little inconsistent. But, again, Kemper's a pretty good goalie. You know, like Dylan Strome's a great player. They have some good young players there. So I could see either one of them flip-flopping with Detroit because, again, Detroit's only one up on Washington, but they have two games in hand to the Capitals. So the Capitals really can make up ground. The Capitals win the next two games. They're suddenly three up on Detroit. Meanwhile, the Islanders have one game in hand, and they are 3 points back. So the Islanders win, and then they're staring at one back. So it's really like all the teams really it's really like in the tight-end battle there. And then, again, Buffalo, just because they played a few more games, kind of doesn't benefit them so much. But that's my take.
Yeah, no, it's all correct. I don't know about the Islanders are just so inconsistent from night to night. Yeah. They're like, I know last night's a little different because they're playing the Canes, who are looking like a juggernaut again. But I don't know. The Capitals just seem they have the they definitely don't have the better goaltender, but Lindgren's just hot. He's been playing so well the last few. He had a really bad stretch that kind of put their season in jeopardy, but. I mean, that's just their goaltending in general this season. But these last three teams are the epitome of up and down. The Sabres were so hot. Now they're kind of stumbling a little bit. Had to play Levi last night. He played decently, but he let in that horrible that shot from Hughes from the corner. And then Garland just, like, swatted at it. While it was at his pads, like I don't get it. That was kind of why you got sent down and just letting in some bad goals. But
yeah, I just Dove knows this. I'm a big believer in him. I think like I really believe in Levi. I think one day he's gonna be a really good goalie.
I agree. I mean, expecting a goalie to be this good or like to be like Sorokin and Shesterkin at age 23, 22 is goalies take a little longer, and we've seen it time and time again.
Levi just turned 22. Like he just finished college. He had a phenomenal, not to get, Joe, I'm going to stick away from the prospects. Don't worry, but not to get too into the prospect talk, but he did have four phenomenal years in college. You can check on HockeyDB or Elite Prospects. I think his goals against average is below 1.5. His save percentage is insanely high. That I'm not exactly sure, but his numbers were sparkling in college. World Junior numbers were ridiculous. It reminds me a lot of Marc-Andre Fleury, personally, very athletic, smaller side. His episode with Spit and Chicklets earlier this year was awesome. They really like him at Buffalo. He's also been phenomenal in the American League as well. So it's not like he's just like.
That's also why he stumbled, is because he went on Chicklets.
Right, but he's been like he's really been good in the American League as well. So like I'm not too concerned about him. I think like. Pekka Luukkonen's a couple – I think he might be 24 now, Luka. I'm not sure, but he's been interesting. He's had some really good games, some really bad ones also. But, again, that's what happens when you have young goalies. Like, I think Buffalo's number one. They are going to have to – I think they'll have to pick one going forward and just bring a veteran in. And if I were the Ottawa Senators, I would call on the other one.
I don't think so. They got to stick with UPL. He's had way more good than bad this year.
I agree. That's true.
Look at his last eight. Yeah, his last eight or nine. Fantastic. Three or less allowed. I'll take that if I'm Buffalo.
That's for sure. But I wonder like what they'll do with Levi because he's definitely like teams are very high on him. He's a big part of that. He's a big part of that trade from the Panthers to the Sabres.
Yeah. If I'm calling my shot right now, even the wings are hard to gauge because it's not like Lyon's been that good and their defense has been kind of iffy. I don't know what even to predict with them. Yeah. hard to figure out. I hope, like I said, I hope the Sabres can crack it and the Lightning fall off, but that seems unlikely. Most likely, yeah. It just stays as is, but I can't trust half the, for the, you know, Wings, Capitals, Islanders, Sabres. I can't trust any of them to put some money down on it.
I love benching. That kid's a player.
The simplest way of trying to break down exactly how this playoff race is going to work, I mean, and obviously there's a lot of variables, but a fix, and like, you know, like we know that's happening. Boston, Florida, Toronto, New York, and Carolina are all making it. There's three slots left, and you know, one of them is going to a Metro team for sure. I mean, if you're ranking the teams based on right now off who's the best team, who are the top three? Irrelevant of how many points there are.
Yeah. I would say Florida.
No, after you take off the top five.
Oh. I don't know. I'm so biased with, like, I've been rooting for the Flyers all year.
Just take away, like, your biases are allowed to be involved. Just who is the best team, in your opinion? Your subjectivity. Like, for me, I think it's Philly, Detroit, Washington. Or Philly, Detroit, Buffalo. It's, like, between those two. Coach, what about you? We'll let Joseph.
I feel bad. I just had to hop on a call for a second. I missed your question.
The last three spots. Like, how would you rank?
It's been solidified who the top five teams are in the Eastern Conference. In your opinion, who is team 6, 7, and 8 in terms of who you think is the best? Not who has the most amount of points, who's the most likely to make it.
So you're saying after the top five, you're saying the last three playoff spots.
Yeah.
Rank the last three.
Rank the teams who are the best in your opinion, not who's making it.
Yeah, not who's in the spots right now.
Right. Okay, that's actually a very good question. Right. Like, I think Florida is the team to beat in the conference.
After Florida, Carolina, Rangers, Leafs, Bruins. Those are 1 through 5. Who's 6, 7, and 8 in terms of team, in your opinion?
Right. I think Tampa's got to be 6. I think they got to be.
Okay, fine.
I know Joe isn't like that, but I don't know where. Like, what I'm going to give to Detroit? Like, I don't know. Like, at the end of the day, there is some sort of pedigree that Tampa has, and they do get the benefit of the doubt because they've been doubted so many times.
I don't care. That's not the question I asked you. I didn't ask you who historically has been the best. I said who's the best right now.
I know. I understand what you asked me. And what I'm answering is that I do think them, and part of my decision is how they've always proven people wrong. And I think that's part of my decision. I believe they're 6. I firmly do.
You know what you know how a rubber band, like, it's this tiny little thing. And, like, you stretch it. You're like, oh, wow, it's so stretchy. Eventually it snaps. That's the Tampa Bay Lightning. They've lost piece after piece after piece, traded prospect after prospect, pick after pick. They're just void. They're too void of talent to go and actually be what I would call a solidified playoff team. Maybe they're 8, maybe they're 9, but I don't think they're above that. That's what I would say.
Okay. That's okay. We can disagree. That's fine. I still think
I just look at that defense. That's really all posed into me. Okay. It's just a joke.
Well, we'll see how this one ages out. I have Tampa 6. It's really tough because, like, these teams are all just like meh. Like, currently, right now, like, the Islanders suck right now.
We lost Coach. Yeah, we just lost.
This is great.
There's a setting called Do Not
Disturb. Yeah, 1 second. I know, but sometimes you get dove, sometimes you get called twice, right?
Okay.
I would go.
So you say Tampa six. So the tough thing is that I think Philly is very clearly six if they have an actual goaltender.
If they actually have a real D pairing, in my opinion.
What do you mean they don't? They have real D pairings. There are a lot of guys who are injured right now, but they have D pairings. But it just got screwed.
Well, right now, yeah. As we sit, they don't have a real pairing. That's my point. I don't care who's on IR.
Who's healthy on their defense right now? I know I shouldn't have watched the game last night. It was really busy.
Radish, Perbix, like.
Who's Ronnie Attard? Attard? Like, who is that guy?
Philly?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Tampa.
No, we moved on from Tampa. I think they're on a playoff team. Coach thinks they are, and you don't want them to be, but you think they are.
Oh, no, I like Philly's defense. They can puck
the ice. Yeah. Okay.
They puck watch a little too much sometimes, but.
Let me finish my list for you guys. For me, Tampa 6. I'm going to come in with a little bit of a hot take here. I think the Islanders are. I'm going to take the Islanders 7, man. I just like Patty Waugh there, and I feel like they're going to start. They have the goalie, they have a great back end. They don't have any depth in scoring, but I feel like they sneak in there a tough out. I'm going to put them 7, and I think Detroit's going to get in an 8.
Okay.
Interesting take. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah. No,
You think Philly's not making it, and Washington's not making it?
Yeah, I think there's too much going on. There's just stuff going on in Philly. Like Sean Couturier named captain 4.5 weeks ago, got scratched last night.
But that's
what happened.
That's just Tortorella-isms. Like,
yeah,
I'm guessing. Like, you know, my conspiracy theory on that is all the vets have been scratched at this point, and it probably Torts is a big like lead by example type of guy, and I don't know, maybe Couturier showed up late to practice one day, and like he had a totally valid reason why, but he's like, you know what, these are the rules of the team, and we have a culture that we've established, and you just can't mess with that, no matter what, if you're the captain or not. And that's just the way he works, and frankly, that's why he's an unbelievable coach, because most coaches would have rolled over and said, okay, whatever, we'll let it slide.
I love Torts. I love him. He's
undeniable. He's like,
love Torts. Dope. I love Torts.
Couturier has also not been playing well, so.
Right.
Like, he looks so slow right now. I don't know what's going on, but.
Yeah, I also noticed that. And he's like, no, you know, he's got a Selke. Like, the guy can play hockey.
Yeah, and he had a really good season going until, like, January. I don't know. I'll go Flyers. Wings, Caps. I think that's what Dope said, right?
Yeah, something. I think I said that. I said it was between the Caps and Buffalo is what I said. Let's say 18.
Yeah. I trust, I don't know, whatever. I did it in the beginning of the season. I didn't trust Cadbury, but.
Carberry.
Let's figure something
out. The chocolate coach.
Yeah. He's got buy-in. Ovi's heating up a little bit. I think that helps so much, obviously. Mm-hmm. On a power play, though, him being another, like, go-to, bankable option on the power play is awesome.
For the purposes of the exercise, if we're all being brutally honest and ignoring injuries, New Jersey's easily the best team after the top five.
No.
Based off of, on paper, not based on how they're playing.
I mean, who cares? They got four goalies, and they have zero goalies.
I mean, well, I think Jake Allen may be a solution for them. I'm not sure he's good enough to take them on the run to the playoffs right now.
Luke Hughes is a walking liability.
That's all the Hughes is. I mean, I don't know about Jack, but Luke and Quinn are both liabilities. Like,
Quinn's way better than Luke, obviously. I mean, he's
Quinn Hughes is still a liability. He has improved exponentially at defense since he came into the league 3 or 4 years ago. He's still a massive liability.
No, Hronek is the liability on that pairing.
It's just a beautiful pairing to watch, like, in terms of, like, it's very high event.
But, I don't know. I guess, I mean, definitely at the beginning of the season, but right now I would not put the Devils. I'd put the Sabres are probably better on paper.
Really?
Yeah, with Byram, Dahlin, Joki Haru.
And then New Jersey's offense is stacked.
So is Buffalo's. Buffalo's is deeper, too.
I don't know, maybe.
You're just looking at, is Alex Holtz even playing? He's been scratched, like, a bunch.
I think he's in the minors.
Which is ridiculous, but it's neither here nor there. And they're not here, so screw them. Let's move to the West. We've got the Predators and the Knights in the wild card spot. The Preds have more points than the Kings, but we won't talk about it. We'll talk about it when we get to the playoffs. But I love the Preds. I was right about the Preds. The Knights look
You were right about the Preds.
You were right about
both. I was so freaking right about the Knights.
You were. I was really surprised they fell this far. But
you guys are both hanging out with both those calls. Nashville's been, like, the hottest team in the league, and Vegas has been, Vegas.
The opposite.
Vegas has had so much puck luck in terms of, like, regulation overtime wins, like,
yeah, I know. I saw that also. I noticed that. It's interesting. We'll see. It's crazy. We'll see what's going to happen with them. Like, Minnesota's not on their heels.
I really won't be shocked if Calgary or St. Louis catch them. Minnesota, I don't think has the – they just don't have the strength to do it.
What do you think?
Well, Flowers and
– Calgary or St. Louis?
No, Calgary's not. Calgary's not doing that, man.
Minnesota's literally missing their two best defensemen.
I know, but Flowers was third star of the week last week.
Wait, Minnesota's who? What?
Spurgeon and Brodin are both injured.
Yeah, Brodin's done for the year.
They've been missing Spurgeon for like 2 months.
And
Brodin's been good. Faber's been better than Spurgeon.
Faber's better at offense. Spurgeon's their captain, and he's second defense. And Eric Snack's out too. Like, they may catch, but like, I think Calgary and St. Louis are both more equipped to.
Calgary's not a good team. They're not catching them. They're not getting to the playoffs, man.
Neither is St. Louis.
St. Louis is a little bit better than Calgary, a little bit.
I would.
Like, they have more firepower. Calgary's not a good hockey team, man. Yeah, they're also like, Joe, like, come on, man. Calgary's 8 back of Vegas, man. It's the final spot.
I would actually wager Calgary is more firepower than St. Louis.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. You guys are all like, there's only 12 games left or 15 games left in the season. And there's a month left. There's a month left of the season. Anything can happen.
Yeah, you got to look at the schedules.
It's not like we look. I'm pretty sure last episode we really dove deep into Vegas' schedule. It's a tough racket. It's hard. They have a few easier games, but like it's not sunshine and rainbows. And like there's a lot of interdivision games there. They play Calgary. They play Seattle. It's hard. Like the only Eastern Conference team they're left playing is Columbus. So there's that for Vegas, but they play the Blues, they play Colorado, they play Minnesota, they play Edmonton, Vancouver multiple times, the Jets multiple times, I believe. No, the Jets are once.
The Jets are a wagon, eh?
Like, okay, they do not have an easy schedule.
Blues like, schedule is not. Well, it's better, but it's not great.
Calgary has a interesting schedule. It's not so bad at all. It's pretty good. It's actually very favorable. They have Very favorable. They have the Canucks Saturday night, and they have the Sabres, which will be a great game. They have the Hawks, which will be a dub, and they have the game against the Blues, which should be a big game. And they have the Kings, which was, again, the Kings are a good team, but the Flames can play. Flames can play with slower teams, man. I saw them last week in Calgary against the Avalanche, man. It wasn't a game. Now I'm not trying to compare them to the Avalanche, but I'm saying like when they play the generally it happens to be the last game they won, but they're not playing such inspired hockey anymore. Like a lot of their players got traded. It's probably harder in the room. Their strength of schedule is very their schedule is pretty weak. Like they have the Sharks twice, they have the Hawks, they have the Ducks twice, they have the Yotes. Like they should rack up some W's here. But I think at the end of the day, it's just going to impact their spot in the first round in terms of where they're picking, not the playoffs. Joe, I disagree with you. I think St. Louis, between Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou and Jake Neighbors playing really well on Buchnevich, like that, those are their top four scorers, let's just say, or top four goal scorers, and Calgary can't match that. Like Blake Coleman, Nazem Kadri, Yegor Sharangovich, and then you can say like I don't know if you're gonna say Huberto or wherever you want to go with the last one. I know he's been pretty good in the second half, but you can't compare the Blues top like the Blues best four forwards to the Flames. It's just not. Their back end, they have Anderson, who's a great player, and but the Blues have Parenko. Again, they lost Tanev and they lost Hanifin, but again, and I just it's I think the Blues are a better team. And I'm not saying they're good teams, but I think they're a better team.
Yeah, well, Blues have an edging goal, so that helps.
Yeah, he's been. By the way. Nobody's talking about it. Like Bennington's been awesome this year.
You know who hasn't been awesome is both of the Golden Knights goalies.
Yeah. Aiden Hill's been weird and weird.
Aiden Hill's been horrible since he came back.
Yeah, he's like, but his numbers are still good because he was so good this year. They're still pretty good.
I don't care.
No, I'm not. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying that it's just crazy. And Minnesota, they're right there, man. Minnesota's, three out on Vegas. They did play an extra game, but they're three out. Like, they're right there.
I love it.
I have a question for you guys. Is San Jose going to hit 47 points this year and pass Colorado for I guess so it'll avoid having the worst modern era season in history, or no? 8 more points. Four more wins.
I don't see it. Like, not even. They play the Blackhawks. That's probably the best shot.
Yeah, that. By the way, they're playing the Hawks. Yeah.
But the Hawks are not, laying down either.
Benji's playing with passion right now. Like, he wants to win games.
Okay, that's one win maybe if they play the Hawks.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The rest of these teams trying to fight for points.
The next worst teams that they play are Seattle and Arizona.
Right. Like Calgary, but Calgary beat.
No. Arizona. Calgary is easily by far the best of those three teams.
No, I know. I'm saying the next. On that ladder, and we'll see where Calgary sits by the time they play. But man, the Sharks are playing these two rookie goalies, and they're giving up. Krona, right? Yeah.
No, they have Vanishek.
Has not been. No,
he's not playing. They traded for Vanacek.
I don't think he's been playing. I don't know.
Yeah, he's injured.
I thought it was Krona and Cooley, but
he's done for the year. Oh my god.
But yeah, so the Sharks are giving up goals in bunches. Like they were in that game last night, and then Nashville just put six in the net. In 2 minutes.
It really does suck for the Sharks because they totally could have traded Blackwood and got back a lot if he wasn't injured.
Oh yeah, big time. They should have done this early.
They should have traded him before he got injured because he got injured less than a week before the deadline.
Like why were what were they waiting for?
Yeah. just wild.
We could do that. Yeah, we do that exercise. I mean, it's one less spot. I mean, honestly, if I had a Nashville versus LA right now, I would take Nashville probably. But
in the playoffs,
I'm just saying, like in the last exercise, we ranked the last three spots. But
no, okay. So the difference is that I think that every single spot in the West is going to be a dogfight, and in terms of the East, I think it's who's going to suck the least.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you want one of those. You want one of those eight spots, and really, like, you know, when I say eight, I mean more like the last two, because it seems Nashville's taking it.
Yeah.
You have to go and take it from Vegas or LA, as opposed to in the East, where it's like, okay, just don't lose as much as the other teams.
So kind of to what we were texting about a couple of days ago, like I was saying, the West is...
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right. I still think that once we get to the playoffs, though, in the East, it's going to be also great.
Oh, yeah. I just think it's a deeper... Like a lot of those series.
There's more quality contenders in the West than there are in the East. I will be first to admit that.
Yeah.
That being said, that's actually why I think that the team that will end up winning the Stanley Cup this year is a very solid shot across the East, because I think that there's an easier pathway for those few contenders.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that. Getting through the West is like a gauntlet. It'll take a lot out of you.
Yeah, like there's not going to be like, oh, we swept them, like,
right.
And maybe not even a five game series. Like, you're lucky if you get a win in six.
Yeah. Well, then, yeah, rank the last three, the top three teams to get in that last.
The West?
Yeah. Well, yeah, in the West for that last wild card.
Well, I mean, Nashville can't really be six. Their ceiling is the first wild card spot, but they would be six. Seven would be LA, and eight would be... It's tough. I don't think Vegas is going to get it. They may, but like I just don't...
I don't want them to get it, but they're going to get it, I think.
I'm not abandoning my call a month away from the season when I'm about to have pure vindication. For me, the tiebreaker goes to the goalie. I'm going to say Calgary somehow does it. Joe, I can't hear you. If you could hear me, you're muted. Joe, you're muted.
Josie.
That's better. What was better?
Oh, okay.
What was better?
Yep. I mean,
can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Like it's really boils down to the exercise. It's who's going to make it? That's not the question that we were asking for. It's the question of who are the three best teams.
Right.
And I think Calgary is the best team of those teams.
I disagree.
Yeah, I would. It's so tough because I don't. Either of you guys know when Eric Sinek is back?
Sinek?
No, Eric Sinek. He's
Eric Sinek.
It's not like a it's like right now listed as day to day, but it's like a lower body injury. So who knows at this point what it actually is?
It's right. Lower body injuries are typically a little trickier. The question is if he's skating or not, which you would have to ask Michael Russo for that information.
Correct.
I think Minnesota's going to get in if Vegas falls out. That's my. I don't think it's St. Louis. I think it's going to be Minnesota. It's Minnesota or Vegas to me.
Right now, the report from last Thursday is he may rejoin the. He may play at some point over the road trip in California. So that's from last Thursday. He may play tonight, but who knows? He may play Saturday against St. Louis. Like it's really ambiguous. I mean, Russo said he's just set to miss a few games. Like, it's not super bad. But then again, teams totally lie.
Yeah.
And, like, it's actually shocking to me how teams can literally lie about injuries. And, like, there's no repercussions, there's no nothing. Like, in the world of gambling, that you can't do that anymore. And there's got to be some form of transparency. Like, we never really talked about it, but the whole Mitch Marner thing, about how, like, oh, yeah, he may play tomorrow. And, like, oh, he has a high ankle sprain. It's crazy.
Yep, it is crazy.
Oh, man, it's so hard to choose. Because it should be easy. Like, on paper, the Knights should be way better than either of these teams. But the Wild have... They called up all these random guys, and maybe they're not random, but they've all contributed and such. Blues, similar situation, but the Blues and Wild have just gotten way better goaltending than the Knights lately. Man. I want to say Wild, too. But without Erickson Ek, it's so tough. I just don't believe in the Blues. I know they
have. Yeah, I don't either.
I just watch them day in and day out, and it's like, I don't know. I like Neighbors. I like, obviously, Kyrou. Bobby Thomas is on fire.
Yeah, that kid's awesome. They have some good prospects coming up also.
They always seem to. Man. I have no idea how I'd rank these. I'd probably go Blues, Wild, Knights. We're doing the last three.
What about Nashville?
No, of course. I think Nashville's better than... Oh. Yeah, so I think Nashville's better.
Then you don't have the Knights making the playoffs. Oh, you have the Kings not making it.
No, I do.
So then you've named nine teams.
No, I know. I was ranking the last three to get that last spot.
So, oh, okay.
So I'm with you. Like, I could see the Knights falling out. That's yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Stone injury is brutal. To be honest, I think the hubris to trade for Hurdle when you don't know when he's coming back.
Right.
Is... batshit crazy.
It's crazy. If
they don't make it, that's like almost fireable. Because like they could have traded for so many things.
Yeah. But like, I mean,
what if Hurdle doesn't play until the playoffs?
Right, but I mean they were banking on their goalies playing better. You know, I agree with them.
Okay, but you can't bank on that. Like,
why not? They're two goalies that have played well.
Because you lose Mark Stone, possibly sure. For the season. Who knows?
You upgrade
and your solution was we're going to go – and you went and pushed in the chips for Hannafin too, right? And then after that, what do? You're like, oh, let's go trade for another injured guy.
Yeah, it's interesting. McCrimmon just loves being aggressive, man. That's him and McBee. That's their mindset. Just be aggressive as most aggressive as we can and grab headlines. It's Vegas. Now you got to make a splash.
They lack depth. Dorofeev's been injured a lot, and they're relying on like Nick Waugh and like Claudio. Like those guys are
how's Brisson looked since he got called up?
Pretty good.
Miramano was better, but
Haber sounds pretty solid.
Yeah, but that's asking a lot. I mean, the young guy to anchor that and also bail out his goalies. I don't know. Because you're, I mean, they're stacking their D with offensive minded, mostly D men.
Well, I mean, Peter Angelo, I wouldn't call Peter Angelo offensively minded.
No, he's a good two-way.
He's a great two-way.
He's just a great, yeah. He's just
and then losing Martinez also, they, you know, that's huge.
Brutal. Brutal. He's a great, great stellar player also. Yeah, he's been a backbone for them.
But, like, this is exactly what I was saying about Vegas is, like, they're just a house of cards.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it's looking like.
Ow.
We'll see.
Yeah. I underestimated how many games I had left. I thought it was less than...
Yeah, we'll have to discuss the playoffs more in a couple of weeks. You know, like, we can't... there's still a lot to go. There's a lot of implications.
Well, yeah, we covered a lot of... And we'll cover more as the picture gets clearer. But I did want to highlight the games tonight. Stars, Coyotes, kind of whatever. But still, you know, Stars... Stars haven't been perfect. They're really good. Big test for the Kings, and then big test for the Leafs. And the Capitals are playing desperate. So that's a huge game. That's the first game tonight. Leafs coming on. They're playing a back-to-back. Samsonov played last night, so I would expect Wall to play tonight. Lindgren will play tonight. Yeah, playing tonight. what do you guys – how do you think it'll go tonight?
Don't go ahead.
I mean, I think the Leafs will win just because, like, the discrepancy between Washington and Toronto is just big enough that it won't really matter.
Are we sure about that? Because the discrepancy between Philly and Toronto is pretty big.
No, because... Okay, first of all, the first caveat is that Toronto's playing without their third best player. You know, Marner is a significant loss for the roster, and, you know, they just hope that he gets back soon. Philly also just get it's the first game back with Torts after he gets suspended. So I don't think it's as, like, I think that you put the rosters down one versus the other on paper, yeah, Toronto's is better. But if you go and you actually go through the narratives and what's going on at this point in the season, also, like, Toronto is playing sleepy. That they just are.
It's not great.
Yes, we are.
Because they don't need to really turn on.
Well, you can't play like that.
Yes, I agree. I agree. It's unacceptable to play that way because it shows a lackadaisical, I don't care, like, this doesn't mean.
Yeah, but Joe, these are our Leafs, man. It's been like this for years. They don't have enough guys that really want it. This is our DNA of our team.
If you can't, I
agree with you.
They've improved that they can just turn it on when they have to, you know.
It's just like irrelevant of turning it on versus turning it off. Like, this isn't basketball. It doesn't work that way.
Right. I'm saying, like, are you at all worried that they could get stuck in this mode?
Of course I'm worried about it.
I'm very nervous about it.
I've been nervous about it for years.
When you watch that Oilers Avalanche game Saturday night on Hockey Night in Canada at 10 p.m. Eastern, and you're like,
we don't have that in the States, Coach. It's just called the late game on TNT.
Well, you guys all suck. Anyway, when you watch that late night game and you look at yourself and you're like, wow, do I think – I'm sorry, Joe, the Hawks are just irrelevant to this conversation right now. God willing, after you guys get Celebrini and Bedard down the middle and you got the BC boys cooking, we'll chat more. After their long-term contracts, you might not be, though, because you never – actually, no, you'll be fine. The cap will go up. It won't be in the cap hell we're in right now. But my point is that when you're watching McKinnon versus McJesus on a Saturday night, you got the dog, you got the moose, you got McCarr, you got Devontae, who, in my opinion, is the most underrated defenseman of the league. You got McJesus, you got Draisaitl, you got the Hymenator. They're Bouchard's unbelievable. Skinner's been playing good hockey. You watch these, the pace of the game, the way these guys play. And I'm sure, well, Dove, I know I wasn't watching the game much, but we did discuss this briefly, and I did discuss this with some other Leaf fans that I've been talking about it. Like, we're just like, where's like, okay, so there's no chance we can play at this level. Like, again, some of it has to do with the back end, the pace they play at, the way their team wants to win. The players, like, you know, every day I just shake my head. I was Zach Hyman left for $5.5 million, and the guy's gonna have 53 Genos this year. But like, it's the pace that these guys want to play at. It's the way they want to win. It's the way the game is played, the level of hockey, that each player's desire to actually want the game, the care and the passion for their teammates and their players, like that, and playing for their coaches and their teams and their fans. Like, the Leafs lack pretty much all of that, and on different levels, obviously. And I watch those two play, and I'm like, I just don't, and you know, you watch the Panthers play, the same type of hockey, like just caring, like championship, like just championship aspirations. Like, that's what these teams want to play like, and that's how they want to play. And there's just, I don't see that in Toronto. Like, Tavares is a great leader, but he's a quiet leader. He's not like McKinnon, you know? Like, McKinnon after the game, you know, there was a great interview speaking of the States and hockey on TNT last week. Great interview by Biz. He's like, okay, you know, the dog had 4 points, another 4 point night, just another night for the dog this year. And Biz says to him, hey, buddy, like, you're going to have some ice cream after the game. Where do you have ice cream? He says, no, I'm going right back on. He's like, I'm going right back on the, right back on the bike. And like, Biz is like, what? Like, you're going back on the bike. Like, my point is like, these guys are just different, man. Like, in Toronto, like, it's a reality here, and it sucks, but it is. Like, these guys just, you know, they want their money, they want their endorsements. And I'm not saying they don't care, because I think they do. But they don't care, like,
they don't really care.
No, I think they do a little bit. But they don't care. At least Tavares does, in my opinion. And I think Riley does.
But he's the wrong person who needs to care.
Right, exactly. That's kind of my point. Exactly. Dove was basically, exactly. And like, you see McKinnon, how much he wants it. And he's got the, you know, the other night, Zadorov of the Canucks said, it's funny. So I think I told Joe as well. But so I got to watch McKinnon and McDavid back-to-back nights last week. And you watch McKinnon play. And, like, you know, the Flames were up 2-1 after the first, and I was sitting next to this absolute beauty, and I look at him next. The guy's, like, 65, played for Medicine Hat in the WHL. He's been around the clock, let's just say. He's watched a fair amount of hockey. I looked at him. I turned to him after the first.
We just lost. Yeah, just lost you for a second.
The worst.
Yeah, time. Yep. Sorry, Joe. Sorry, boys. Got another ring there. But, yes, my phone's not going to disturb, Joe. Anyway, I looked at my buddy at the seat over, and I'm like, there's no chance the Avalanche aren't coming back. And the Avs score 5 unanswered. They're just, these teams are built different. And I look at it, it's different. It's different hockey. It's different. It's just a different mindset. And I just, like, I saw that game Saturday night, how great of a game it was, and McDavid and McKinnon going just toe-to-toe there. It was just unbelievable. Like, the hockey, the passion, the engagement of every player, and even like, they're, you know, like, and it bleeds off them, right? Like, it, like, other players feel it also. Like, you're gonna, you know, you have these four, like a guy like Ross Colton on the Avalanche, or like Sam Carrick, the newly acquired, him, Henrique, these guys, they feel it. They feel the will, the desire. And I think it's, that's something that just can't be taught. It's something that has to be brought in by a coach or by your star players. And I think, the Avalanche specifically, the Oilers, not as much, but whatever, the Panthers, you see it. Tampa, you see it. Again, I'm not saying that Tampa's going for the, you know, I don't think they're on the same level as these other teams, but they still have that desire. Like, you see how Point, Cirelli, and Stammer, and Cooch, and so on and so forth. And, you know, like, you see it on certain players in the league, right? Like, I don't have to go through every player now, but obviously with Sid, really, and guys like that. No, I'm not going to go through every player, Dove. But my point is that, like, you there are certain teams and players that have this, the factor that scouts sometimes rave about, and you don't, we just don't have it in Toronto, man. We just don't have it.
You got to find somebody else to skate in Reeves' spot.
Reeves hasn't been such a problem, actually. That's the crazy
thing. Exactly. He's been playing, brother. Yeah.
Well.
Let's see. Like, it's
I just don't think you don't need him in the playoffs. And he's day to day. Never mind.
Yeah, he got it. Delorier got him last night. Nice.
It's really, to Coach's point, you look at the team and you look at other teams and you're like, are these guys are they able to push the needle enough? Like, can they hang? And the simple answer is no, they can't.
My biggest issue is their stellar defense. Like, I like Lilligren and McCabe, fine. I still don't like Brody. Edmondson is whatever.
It's crazy. You know what, Joe? It's crazy. We've had this issue forever. Like, it's we haven't had a right shot defenseman who can play 23 to 24 minutes a night, right, and play with Riley. We haven't had that since Riley got drafted. We have not had, like, you just go through the names, like, he's played with Ron Hainsey, he's played with TJ Brody, he's played with, and, you know, there's just, I don't want to go through, I'm not going through all 55 names right now, but those are just two notable names who he's played with on a little bit more of a consistent basis. And it's crazy, it's mind-boggling that a team just can't figure it out. And listen, I love Free Living. I'm not here to, you know, like, I'm not blaming Dubas or Lamorello and whoever else, but
I blame Dubas. I blame Dubas.
Okay. I wasn't going that route. I wasn't going the blaming route, but not in the sense that I don't think he deserves it, but in the sense, like, I think there's more to it. It's the least.
No,
like,
he's just emotional. He's just a baby.
Right. No, that's true too. You see what he's doing? Yeah. Well, Pittsburgh looks great right now as it is. But anyway, like, there's just no, it's crazy. Like, in Toronto right now, you got Riley. Lilligren's a talented player when he's playing with confidence. But if you watch the Leafs closely enough, like Dove and I, and Joe, I'm sure you watch games, but I don't know if you noticed this, and you can let me know if you do. When Lilligren doesn't have confidence, the guy looks like an AHL defenseman out there. Like, on the power play, if somebody's pressuring him, he generally panics. He's got a good shot. He's skilled. He makes a good first pass a lot of the time. But he'll throw muffins up the middle. He'll turn the puck over. Yeah. And then McCabe's a great player. I happen to like him. That was a great trade by Dubas. He's making, especially for a team that is four guys making almost $50 million at this point. And whatever it is, 45. And like, it's the Leafs have had a defensive issue for years. And every year is this guy poke. As I always say to my buddies, like, yes, they've plugged holes before, but have they solved the hole? Have they fixed the hole? No, they plugged them. You know, you're bringing a guy, he's going to plug the hole for you. You know, like, Joel Edmondson's going to come in now, and everyone's like, oh, you know, Joel Edmondson's great because when teams are on the forecheck, he's great at stopping the forecheck. He's great on the cycle. He can be great on the cycle, but if he can't move his legs, bro, then he's a liability out there.
Exactly.
Like, it bothered me a lot. It bothered me a lot, and I'm sure Joel agrees with this. Like, when Benny the Butcher, Simone Benoit, when he got scratched, I was like, what for? Like, he looked great last night. He was the one defenseman other than Mo that looked awesome.
Right. Him.
The thing with Lilligren is if he wasn't right-handed, he'd be in the minors.
Exactly. Bang on.
That's just the way it is. The tough thing is like this, is that ultimately, there's not a lot of, like, you are, in terms of just developing that defenseman, you either need to build it yourself or you need to buy it. And when you buy it, it costs a shit ton of money.
Yep. It's painful.
It's either you're overpaying on free agency or you're overpaying in the trade. Like,
there's also one other option, Joe. Or you're Chris McFarlane and Joe Sakic, and you call up Uncle Lou, and you're like, hey, Lou, can we get Devontae's? We'll give you 2-2s. And Lou's sure.
He's a lefty.
I know. I'm providing an example of getting an elite defenseman. For example, we can go the other way. I'm saying Sean Walker next to Morgan Riley. That would be too bad.
I was just about to say.
Yeah.
That.
Like, I have to give up a first round pick. Because I'm unloading Johansson
but that's plugging a hole.
Because yes,
he's a free agent at the end of the year.
For sure it is.
And how much is it going to cost you to keep him? Because I think the number may start with a six.
I would say 5 or 6. No, I wouldn't say start with a 6. I would say around 5 or 6.
No, depending on how long term the contract is, it may start with a 6. I'm telling you.
My point being is that I don't – plugging a hole to me is – I would call that more than plugging a hole. That might not be fixing, but there's got to be a level in between because the Leafs have had too many times where they've gotten a depth defenseman and said, like, yep, this is our guy, like Joel Edmondson. Like, he's going to help us, like, you know, another lefty.
Really?
Right, exactly. Exactly, Joe. Like, Lubushkin. Like, okay, he's – yeah, you know, we literally give up more for Lubushkin than half the other teams give up for half their other, assets at the deadline. Like, we gave up a third for Lubushkin. Like, that's – and he's a decent player. Like, he's not bad, and I'm not here to criticize him. I'm happy he's here, and he can – you know, he can break up the cycle, and he can eat some pucks in the penalty kill. But, like, are you kidding me? Like, getting Lubushkin and, like, yeah, this is, like – we believe in you guys. We're getting you Lubushkin and Edmondson and Cam Duar to help, you know, work on the PK, and the PK's been crap. Connor Duar, I'm sorry. Connor Duar, and our PK's been crap ever since. Like, yeah, that's what we're going to do. Here's me having faith in you. And I'm not blaming Tree Living because I think that Dubas left him with no assets and not a lot of just flexibility in terms of roster management. But, like, to me, it's just crazy because, like, you know, you see the Avs, they get Sean Walker, they get Casey Mittelstadt, they get Josh Manson 2 deadlines ago. Like, those are 2 legitimate right-hand shot defensemen that if they were on the Leafs today would make such a difference, a world of a difference to the team, to the penalty kill, to being able to, you know, just use your left side to your strength and maybe put Brody in a more appropriate role.
But also, like, just if you had one of those two, imagine you – like, make your forecheck, like, insufferable. Like, Sean Walker
is
another forward.
Of course. And Sean Walker could pass the puck out of the zone, man. Like, it's great. You notice that I'm not saying Cale Makar here. I'm not like, because obviously that's not something you get. Like, that's just a gift you get from God, man. That's not something that just happens. So, also, like, I'm talking Sean Walker and Josh Manson.
I got to bring up Chicklets again. Dude, I don't know what's going on with Biz. Maybe he needed that break from TNT that they gave him. But if you listen to the second to last episode when you're talking about the Leafs, like, having all these guys now that can – throw Nux or fight. I'm like, who cares about fighting?
He's horny.
Playoffs. What are we talking about? And then he was saying how Mittelstadt may not be fast enough to play with the Avs pace, and I could not. I don't get his analysis at all.
You know what? I want to touch on 2 things you said right there. With regards to Mittelstadt, like, listen, I'm sure Biz will tell you that was probably like a stupid just analysis. Like, yeah, like Mittelstadt is not known for his foot speed, but again, neither is John Tavares, but like he seems like he did okay for himself in the NHL, right? Like over 1,000 points, like captain.
I would not say that those 2 things are similar.
I'm not saying similar. I'm just trying to provide. I'm not trying to compare. I'm just trying to say like. This is like saying somebody's not going to fit in a system. Like the guy's not slow. He just, you know, when you're playing with McKinnon and Makar, like it's hard to look like a good skater, you know?
But then
like,
you look at Mittelstadt's first goal with the Avs. It was him going fast as shit.
Yeah. You know, who saw that live, eh? I was there for that one. I saw him.
He was flying.
Yeah. He was ripping. I know. I looked at my buddy. I was like, I know, I remember. Like, they said he's lacking foot speed. I don't think so. I think they got the wrong guy. Right. But anyway, just because we're on the Avalanche topic, and I just think it's important to compare, what you were just saying about fighting. Like you look at the Avalanche, right? Like, do they have any guys in your roster that are like, oh, I don't want to fight that guy, or that guy's
that guy.
Yeah, exactly. They got rid of him. My point is that their DNA as a team, their championship DNA, which I think, by the way, still – Landeskog still has a big – again, he's traveling with the team now. He's skating. We'll see what happens. I'm not coming to any conclusions here or drawing any conclusions with him. We'll see what happens. Whatever they get is a bonus this year, obviously.
Why not?
Why am I not drawing any conclusions right now?
He's 1,000% coming back for the playoffs.
I hope so. No, I don't. That's what I hope.
Who?
But I don't know. You know, he's the first guy in the NHL to get this surgery.
Dove,
I wouldn't say for sure. Like, that's a pretty definitive way. Like, I'll
walk it back 5%. He 1,000% is trying and aiming to come back to the playoffs this year. And assuming his body does not fall apart, he will.
Yeah, of course. No doubt. Hello. And I want him to come back. I think it's a great story, and it's great for a team that deserves a real shot at the cup. You know, they're missing their captain. Like, it's crazy how good they've been without him the last couple of years and just relying on top 6 scoring. But my point is you compare that team to the Leafs, and you look at how much they care and how much they want it, And yeah, they're tough guys who go to the front of the net and put pucks in.
Yeah, that's the tough
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it means to be tough in today's NHL. Right. Like, you know, Tree Living, like getting Cade Miller, that, you know, I don't know if you saw that, Joe. The Leafs got a kid who's like 6'6 out of college. Oh, yeah. I don't know what I was. I lost. Yeah, that's on me. Whatever. My head's in a different place right now. I'm just pissed off about the Leafs. But
you haven't even won your Crosby rant yet.
Not yet. But I just want to say one thing. Like, you got Cade Weber, right? Like, this kid's like a defensive stalwart. 6'6", was defensive player of the year in freaking college. Like, okay, great. Like, so you're bringing in toughness. Toughness is not – and we realize this the hard way as Leaf fans. Toughness is not something you just bring in and then it becomes established. Toughness is established within. You need your top players to believe, and this is how you win. And the Leafs believe that they can win in the playoffs by throwing 5 drop passes on a power play and skating end to end and putting it in like Bobby Orr. And they still don't. They still believe that's going to happen. And the problem is that Dubas's fingerprints are all over this team, because that's really like that's the way this team wants to win. They want to win finesse hockey games. I always echo back in my head to when Babcock said, "Our power plays are what do you say, Joe?" Our power plays are is our fighting or what do you say? What was his line?
Our power play is our punch back or our response or something.
No, you're not punch back. Not exactly, not punch back. Whatever. I'll find the line for you in a minute. But something about our power play is like is our way of being physical, or is our way of getting back at teams. I don't know the exact line. Joe, you can check it out online if you want. But anyway, my point is like that's what this team is, and like it's hard. It sucks because like I love the Leafs. I love them my whole life. I'm a diehard Leaf fan. And like, but that's who they are. Like, you look at teams like, you know, like they just won't sacrifice what it takes to win a cup. They won't do it. Like Landeskog did it. Landeskog is the extremist of sacrificing for a cup. He's missed 2 years of his career. Granted, he's still getting paid good money, but he's missed 2 years of being able to play and down the sea as an Avalanche on that top line with Moose and the dog. And he's done that to ultimately sacrifice because of the one cup. Carey Price is retired because he played through a whole playoff run and dragged a mediocre Habs team to a cup, not even to win, because these players know what it takes and will do what it takes to sacrifice to do it. And they don't need Ryan Reeves on their team to change an identity. They do it themselves because that's what they believe in and that's what they believe is right. And the Leafs don't do any of that crap. Nothing. We don't do any of that. The most we'll get is like, you know, you have a guy, like the closest thing we've ever had to the core caring is Zach Hyman, who was not even part of the core, but he was close enough because he was a good player that he actually cared. And once he left, all gone. And they're trying to bring him back. You know, they're bringing in pedigree. Muzzin, Edmondson. You know, Muzzin's still around. He's hanging out of practice. Like, it just doesn't compare. It's when your core players don't – and by telling them to care, it doesn't – they actually have to believe it in themselves. There's a much different thing than telling a player to do it. And I think Sheldon does tell them, and I'm sure – I think he really cares. But at the end of the day, you got to have Matthews, Nylander, and Marner really vocal about it and expressing it, right? Like, the end of the game Saturday night. It's my last part of the rant. I'm sorry. I'm just really worked up right now. Saturday night, Carolina, Leafs up 2. Carolina puts one in. They're up 1. Tavares is out there with Nylander and I think it was Bertuzzi. And I honestly have no problem with Bertuzzi out there because, like, I feel like he'll block shots. And I, like, whatever, okay, like, is it great to have him out there? No. I have no problem with JT out there because he's one of the strongest players in the league and he'll box out anybody in front of the net. But I'll never – I have a picture in my head since Saturday night. Puck goes to Pesci at the line. He shoots right in front of Nylander. Nylander lets it go through. Won't block it. Doesn't want to block it. He just doesn't want to. And the puck goes through, and it goes into the corner. He keeps it in. Nylander didn't hustle after it. And then puck goes back to the point. Then Aho tips that in with a few seconds left. After Aho is screaming in pain because he took a shot from Sveshnikov to the back of his leg. And he's on 1 foot and he puts it in. And I said, that's exact. You saw in one play there, well, one team that really wants to win and one team that, yeah, they want to win. But they want to win in their way. And if it's not their way, it's the highway. So, like, you saw it in one play there. And I love Willie. He's having a career year. He's going to hit the century mark. And I'm happy for him. He's making $11.5 million. So his grandkids are set. But at the end of the day, that's not a team that wants to win the way you got to win. This is a team that wants to win the regular season, rack up 50, put up 100 points, look nice and sexy heading into the playoffs, and then just fold. And, like, to me, it's like – and in my head, I'm like, I'm hoping that this year, since the expectations are so much lower because the blue line is decimated and they suck and the offense just doesn't look as good and the team just doesn't look great, maybe with less pressure, they'll do better. But I just convinced myself that. That's not actually the reality. You know, that's what I'm hoping for. But it's just the DNA of the Avalanche or the Panthers, of teams that are – you know, Vegas even. I know right now they're decimated with injuries. But these teams, it's just – it's different. Dallas – you know, Carey Price in Montreal in 2020, like these guys actually care. And like, it really means something to them. And I just, you know, Dove said it before, like, And it could be I'm wrong. It could be that maybe they do, you know, maybe they don't, maybe Job could be right, that maybe they don't believe it at all. Maybe they really don't care. They don't give a crap to win. Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't give a damn. I think they do a little bit, but Job says not at all. And could be you're right. But it's just, it's very sad to me that they think by addressing Edmondson and Benoit and Reeves that that's going to change your whole team DNA. It's got to come from within and within your best players. And we don't have that.
We got to end it there. We'll do your Crosby rant on the next one.
Yes, that's but, fine. I'm sorry, guys. I'm freaking out.
No, you're good. It's, I mean, as a non-Leafs fan, it's, I can't go so passionately about it. But yeah, it's, everything you said is what I watch when I do get to watch them. So, but yeah, we'll end there. We got the wild card talk and, per usual, some great Leafs talk. So, we'll be.
Dope knows what I mean. Dope knows what I mean. He knows exactly what I mean. I know he just got married and he hasn't been watching as much, but he knows what I mean. He knows exactly what I mean.
Yep. We'll cover more next time, but thank you guys for jumping on, and we'll see you next time.
Joe, you know what? Joe, before you leave, Joe, I just want to say one more thing before you leave. I just want to say one more thing. I'm sorry, friend. Because I'm just thinking, my thoughts are flying through. Jonathan Toews, right? Like, Jonathan Toews, he set an example of what it means to actually want to win. And he followed suit with Seabrook, with you know, with Keith, with, you know, Kane on another level. Again, smaller. Like, I have no problem with guy like a guy like Kane on, you know, Mitch Marner's going to be the guy who's going to score the game. Like, it's – Toews set an example there. He set an example. And you have guys like Dave Bowens, and we can go through your whole – I'm not going to go through the whole dynasty right now. But that's what it means to really set an example and really want to win and say, this is how we're doing it. And this is what – and the reason why we're going to do it is because this is what's going to happen when we do it. Yeah. 3 rings later.
Yeah, you need a guy – call everyone out and lead by example. So, yeah, exactly.
I will say, you know, since I wanted to quickly look something up and then coach decided to talk for 20 minutes. Free agency this year.
I'll take it out.
Free agency is actually very interesting, sir, in terms of right-handed defensemen.
Patrick. Joe, I think, Joe, are you left-handed or right-handed? Because I think the Leafs are working for an extra right-handed.
I'm left-handed.
Ah, okay. Well, if you switch to a right stick, you might get an NHL contract or an invite to camp.
Why are you so pissy?
I'm so pissed. I just looked at it. I watched Sean Walker score 2 tuckies Saturday night, and I'm like, damn it. I think I'm a first or a second for him, but I give